I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back to Soul Sisters, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Our favorite audience, we love you.
Thanks
for coming back week after week. Or if this is your first week, we hope we'll see you next week.
So jolly. Friday.
Yeah, I'm feeling upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Jessie Katz. I'm here with my fantastic co-host Dara Golub. Hi, Dara.
Hi, Jesse.
What's going on? What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? It's the end of summer. I'm actually going to see a fantastic show tonight.
What?
A traveling. It's. I have a friend coming in from town. We're going to go see the show. It's Gideon Irving, who is the son of Mandy Patinkin.
Oh.
I don't know why that's the first thing I tell you that has really nothing to do with anything. He is like
I love Mandy Patinkin.
I know, right? I mean, like it immediately acclimates, but he is basically like a traveling troubadour, and he does these like small house shows where he does original music and all of these kinds of different styles and genres and tells a story and like weaves it around, and he's turned that into like a small stage show.
Cool. Where's that?
That is at the Robert Moses Theater, like by the Public.
Okay, fun.
Yeah. So nice. That's like a weird, the music, I saw it once and I'm seeing it again and I just bawled my eyes out.
Oh, cool.
It's like when music, it just hits
what
you.
What is it
it's
that makes, so good. Oh, like bawling because it's so beautiful?
Because he weaves this story and like comes back around with like, he takes music from a child that like just like a child riffing and like saying random words, and he like puts music to it, and then he gets old in the show, and then it's just like so moving.
Okay,
so
good.
Yeah,
so you're gonna get some good culture this weekend. Yeah,
yes.
I'm gonna be stuck with my family all weekend for some family stuff, but maybe I'll listen to some new Kesha that just dropped.
Nice.
We've all been waiting for that. Everyone is excited to celebrate Kesha any chance that we get. So right. Now we have a big one. I listened to some of the album. The song I've mostly paid attention to is her song with Dolly Parton, because Dolly is one of the best ever.
What is the last like Dolly collaboration or like Dolly release that we've had?
That I cannot remember.
Yeah,
but I saw Dolly perform last year in New York, and it was one of the best shows I've ever been to. Ugh. She's so fucking funny. She tells these jokes and stories about growing up in like the mountains of Tennessee or wherever. She's hilarious. She like really plays her audience. Like a lot of gay fans in the audience, and she like does a lot of winks to them in this really awesome way.
She's
like
a total
you
master.
Don't expect in country music, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you know I went to Dollywood?
No.
Lily actually had her bachelorette party there. We went to Dollywood.
What?
We went to Pigeon Forge,
That's
Tennessee.
Such a good bachelorette.
It was beyond.
Oh,
it was
man.
Totally
so
crazy.
Go?
You should absolutely go.
Okay.
Yes. And like we got a great house. It's like a great just like experience. And then the park is insane.
Is it near Nashville?
it's got, I don't know how near. I think so.
Like Nashville's maybe the biggest city. Whatever,
I think, yeah, it's maybe like hour, two hours or something.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Dope.
Oh, Dolly.
That'll
the
go
queen.
On my bucket list. Thanks for reminding me. we had a young queen on the show today.
Yes.
Which I guess
absolutely.
Call it a princess.
She actually, Phoebe Ryan actually makes me think of Kesha just in terms of being a songwriter first, kind of before being known as an artist.
Totally. She writes for some huge names. Like Britney,
Chainsmokers.
Did she write for Chainsmokers?
Oh, she didn't write.
I think she's featured on them.
Okay,
but Usher and I'm escaping. Yeah.
Just
the other names. Kate.
Oh, honey.
Yeah. She told us how that's how she got started as a professional songwriter.
She like blew me away with basically it seems like everything that's hard for most artists, the writing and the like creativity, the collaborations, like that all sounds like such a struggle. Yeah. And it just seems like the flip.
Right.
Flip side of what a lot of people go through. So it was fascinating.
Yeah. So she told us all about it. It was really fun.
Yeah.
And I made you guys play a really awkward game at the top of it. So buckle up, guys.
I'm into it.
They went along. They're good sports. Okay, cool. So here's Phoebe Ryan on Soul Sisters. How are we doing, DP?
We're all set.
Are we rolling there, everybody?
It's like
rolling, BP. Rolling.
It's like what? It's like the BP from That Thing You Do. That was all he was credited as. Bass player.
Explain.
The bass player in That Thing You Do. He didn't have a name.
In the movie?
Mm-hmm.
BP.
Ethan Embry?
Yeah.
Wasn't given a name. Just
like
bass
in the
player.
Credits? What
yeah.
does it say?
It's yeah. true, yeah.
It
yeah.
says BP?
I think it says bass player. Or maybe it says BP.
I love player. That movie.
Oh, God. One of the greatest.
I know.
Right?
Great.
Okay.
Great stuff.
So good.
Good stuff.
Didn't they have a competition where people submitted songs? And that's how they got that song.
The theme
that
song of That
do.
Thing You Do. I don't think so.
I don't
Maybe
know.
I.
It
that
sounds right.
Too,
I don't. Really? I don't like fact checking, but it sounds right.
It's a nice story, isn't it?
You like yeah. not fact checking. I love that in this.
I like
this
keeping
day.
It interesting. We don't
yeah.
need. Any.
We call that impregnating with wonder. You don't need to find
what?
Just
impregnate
we.
Me with wonder.
Who are friends? What?
I think that maybe was a dorky band thing, but it was when we don't know the answer to something, it's at our fingertips. But why look it up? Just become impregnated with wonder.
Yeah.
And till you just can't stand it anymore. And then you look it up.
Yeah. I, feel
I mean, I love that. But did you really think that was a phrase that existed?
I don't know. You never. It's really hard to tell these days. What
it's
is,
true. You know. There are no new ideas. So someone else somewhere in the world has said that before.
Yes.
I support it.
Yeah.
I support it.
Phoebe co-signs
What was it? Destroy and then...
Destroy it to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's a thing.
That's your thing.
You know when you go to like a fancy restaurant and they pile a bunch of food on and you're like, you can't eat it like carefully. Like you have to like mush it all together and just eat it.
Yeah.
It happens a lot more
no,
than
I'm
you
so about
think,
that.
Would think.
It's like
it
food
sounds
should not
weird
look
when
pretty.
I'm saying
to
it.
You gave yeah. the ramen example, and then I was on board.
Yeah.
I was really lost before
Cracking
that.
Egg
I know,
on the ramen.
Yeah.
No, it's good.
I'm always lost before ramen.
I had ramen for lunch. Can I test out a game on you guys?
Yeah.
So my friend Joe today was like, I could fuck a chicken sandwich. I want one so bad. And I was like, well, I basically just fucked a bucket of ramen because that's what I had for lunch.
Aww.
We came up with this game called Fuck It or Bucket, where you give someone something and they have to say if they would fuck it or put it in a bucket.
So like what?
What? So if I said to you like cheeseburger.
Fuck it.
See?
Put it in a bucket.
Because really? You're a vegetarian.
Yeah. Ah.
See? The game works.
I like this game.
The game holds water.
Bucket.
Like a bucket. Anyway. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Like, sounds like ratchet. Just bucket.
I feel like it's a great game and it just okay. worked well. So bucket. We're using it.
Fun. I wish
anyway.
We had. It's a little early for like, it's not an evening podcast, but it feels
oh,
like it should be.
You're feeling like you want to drink a little?
Yeah.
Have a drink with Phoebe?
Yeah.
Take some wine out.
Yeah.
There's wine in this cup.
Shh.
Oh, no. I mean, water.
No, we've openly
yeah,
drunk whiskey
that's
on the
an
podcast.
Open thing.
Yeah, it's
I don't know. I just feel like you're pretty open about these things.
Drinking. I hope we've gotten to the point in our society where we can all be open
in some ways.
Drinking. What have you revealed to the public that afterwards you're like, ooh, I don't know if I should have let that one out.
Oh man, I don't know. I'm like. I feel like I'm pretty open. Like
yeah.
when I actually feel like I have something that I'm like comfortable to talk about, like
uh-huh.
it's getting out there. Like I never like if there's something that I'm not like quite sure of saying, like yeah, it doesn't
You're
usually
keeping
get
it
out.
Close to the
yeah,
best. Yeah,
yeah. I'm okay. pretty good about like I sound like I'm really unfiltered, but like I am, but I don't know.
There's a level.
You know what
and
I mean?
Then...
There's yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
There's a line and I tap dance on it.
Yeah.
So, like, will you talk about a breakup when you've come to terms with the breakup, that kind of thing?
Well, It's interesting because I don't really like, I just, breakups just in general are somewhat boring to me, maybe because I haven't had like one that's like fucked me up
like destroyed
so
you.
Significantly that I'm just yeah. like done with, like, you know, it's more like if I'm writing songs or talking about like any sort of relationship, it's really like more of a story or like a whole, like, putting everyone I've ever dated mm-hmm. together into a thing, into like this idea. It's never so much just like one person, it's always just a whole bucket
yeah
of boys.
There you go.
See, we're gonna, you keep coming, I mean? Back to this.
That actually reminds me of, or just like evokes, I think you summed that up in the song Mine, I think it is, yeah. which was, you're like, I've broken hearts. I'm like, I'm not a saint. I've broken hearts, oh, but I sleep the same.
Yeah, and dead. Yeah, okay, I talk dead. About like, yeah, it's just, yeah.
You're like, I, you know, I do these things, yeah. but it doesn't faze me to a point where that's going to then pour out of me as like, I need to get, purge this emotion out.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that makes it easier being a songwriter for other people oftentimes, where it's not like it has to be this story that I have to tell and it's so personal and it's so meaningful, but it's like I can like think of stories and put them into a song, and so I can give them to you or to you or to you, and it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because it definitely depends on the song. Like, I've written songs where it's like I'm not even comfortable like sending it to anybody because I'm like, that is just word for word like exactly how it is, and I'm just not ready to okay. like share that yet.
So you do write like that sometimes?
Yeah, no, I definitely do. I just think it's more, I feel like it's just more interesting to talk about like ideas rather than like specifics. I feel like specifics are what you talk about with like your therapist, but I right. think overall like ideas, I just think they're easier to share and maybe easier to, like, you know, touch on certain things. But, like I said, I haven't had, like, a breakup that's been, like, earth-shattering. But I have been shattered. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Like, it's happened, but...
So will you keep those songs that feel a little too personal? Will you keep them and maybe use them as your own? Or just...
You know what I do? I do. I think the new song that I just put out, Forgetting All About You, it's... That song, for a long time, I was like, just would listen to it and I would kind of laugh because I was like, that song is so accurate for how my life has been the past, like, and even just like how it was written and how just like it came about. I was like, this is too on the nose. Like,
and basically, this is about you partying,
yeah,
getting over somebody.
Yeah. But it was just like too on the nose. You know what I mean? I would just listen to it and feel uncomfortable because I was like, yeah, kind of ashamed of myself, just like, this is embarrassing, you know, that I acted this way. But
although nobody would know that if you hadn't said it.
Exactly, yeah. So I don't know. It's,
yeah,
it's hard.
It's so interesting. We had an artist in yesterday who's pretty much the exact opposite and who feels she can't perform anything that's not very much from her life, or can't, it won't come out of her if it's not from her life.
Yeah.
And
but that was partially because the first time she ever recorded herself was because she had this terrible heartbreak and she wrote herself out of it.
Oh, right. Wow.
That was the thing that made her record mm-hmm. as an artist. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it almost makes me wonder if there's some way to look at that as like the difference between a sort of like pop artist, pop star, who's like, mm-hmm. I'm a performer and I can put on different hats and tell different stories that don't necessarily like wrench yeah. me from the inside yeah. versus like more of an indie artist who's like, I'm gonna be my authentic, like,
right,
yeah, that. I feel like I definitely like fall somewhere in the middle of that, because I actually like grew up like doing theater, and I always found it to be like very interesting putting on different hats, like you said, like just having to take on a character. But there's no way to take on a character unless you've lived through those things and been through all that. Like, if I'm singing a love song, I'm singing about either someone I feel that way about in the moment, or I'm singing about every time I've ever been in love and mm-hmm. everybody I've ever been in love with, like mm-hmm. what little details of every moment inform like this overall picture that is meaningful to me and that like makes sense to me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I just, I don't know. That's just how I see it.
Tell us about your theater days.
Yeah.
I read that you were a theater nerd.
Yeah.
We're all about it.
Yeah.
No, I was like super, super into Shakespeare and
theater.
Yeah,
not the musical theater.
I was like a nerd. Wow. I was a nerd, like a real nerd.
Okay,
but it was great because I had this teacher in high school who just like kind of threw Shakespeare in my face, and I was like, "What does this mean?" And he kind of just started getting me so excited about like the meanings behind it, just like the
which
way he
play
wrote.
Was the one that like really
the first got play it. That I ever was in was Twelfth Night, and I was Olivia, and I remember like getting the part and being like, I don't even know what this is what is happening, what is this even about?
How old were you?
I was a sophomore in high school, and he kind of told me like about the character and whatever, but like when we actually got to sit down and he explained to me like the whole language behind it, I just like fell in love like from the moment it like I started to understand. And yeah, I just like I would compete in like Shakespeare competitions. Like I compete in the National Shakespeare Competition one year. And
what did that entail?
I won like this regional like New Jersey. It was you just like read a monologue and read a sonnet and I don't know. I just was like super into. I was like super in it.
So did you have dreams of being in theater in drama?
I really wanted to just like do Shakespeare and just like really like get into that.
Never branched out from Shakespeare. It was always
I would, but I just always found like him to be like the guy.
Yeah,
because it stood the test of time. He stands the test of time.
Totally,
everything he writes is like could have happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. He says it in a way that's like, you know, the language is from his very much like his period, but anything that he writes about, it's like, it's all there.
You don't hear people referencing Shakespeare enough.
I just heard someone talking about, I think it was Edie Falco on a podcast, and she was talking about how in Shakespeare's plays, there are like 8 amazing roles for guys versus like 2 for women, but those 2 roles for women are like the best roles you can ever get.
I know. You know? And sometimes it's a role like in Twelfth Night, you can play what is it, Sebastian, you can play like a viola or whatever, and you can be like a man and a woman.
Right, exactly.
On stage.
Exactly.
And, like, that is crazy. That's amazing. You have like his female characters are always also like so powerful and so they just have like so many dimensions. It's never just like a damsel in distress. Like even Juliet, who's like very young and like kind of like just sappy and in love, is like also just like crazy. She's just so fiery. Yeah. And I don't know. I could talk. This
is
so weird.
Yeah.
Hurting.
So is that still in you? Like, are you?
No.
Do you ever seek it out?
I can't do it at all anymore.
Wait, why?
Because I feel like I just have been away from that for so long. It like freaks me out, like how good people are around me.
I mean, that's something that really requires training. Like training
is
real.
And I just like have totally. I just recently started like, you know, auditioning for things again. But it's like,
oh really?
There's I get like, you know, I get audition like or whatever like emails, and I'm just like, I'm not even good enough. I'm not good enough
for what kind of stuff.
For like TV and film stuff?
Yeah, TV and film stuff. Okay. And there was one sitcom that I was like, I watched one episode. It was like a Netflix thing. And I was like, oh, this is ridiculous. I could do it. It was like Big Bang Theory, kind of like, wah, wah, wah. Like, I can do that. But then there was like a Law and Order audition. I was like, there's no way I can like
turn on the waterworks
on command and like
talk
about my
dark. That's how everyone starts,
dark,
though. Right. All the greats start on Law and Order. Right. Come on.
I know, but I know. And I was so excited because Law & Order is like my favorite show. But when I was thinking about like what I have inside of me, like I couldn't do it. I can't. It's just not where I am.
So if you got cast in something, would you happily switch your career over to acting?
No. I would never like,
But it could happen.
We could do it all these days.
I can definitely do it all.
Definitely do
but
it all.
I can
You're
definitely
a woman,
goddammit. But I just feel out of practice. I feel out
of
practice.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
So did you ever do musical theater?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was always great. But I don't know, just the Shakespeare always was like, this is way more legit. Like, just
I love that.
I felt like very strongly about that.
So towards the end of high school, what were you thinking? What did you want to do?
So at the end of high school, I was like, I'm going to be an actor. I had auditions lined up at Juilliard and Carnegie Mellon, and like I was just going, like I just wanted to specialize in Shakespeare and like drama and like just do that. And at the like super last minute, my parents were like, "Oh, there's this music program at NYU. It's for like engineering and recording and like whatever, all this kind of." And yeah. I was like, I said no at first. I was like, there's no way I don't want to confuse myself by even letting that be an option. Like, I have to stay on this path. And my mom was like, please, like, it sounds really cool. Like, let's just go. Because I, even in high school, I was always doing music, but it was always on the side, you know? Okay. Like, it was always, I was very passionate about it. But yeah,
it was a hobby.
Yeah.
What were you doing? Playing guitar?
I was playing guitar writing? In coffee shops, just like, and just in bands. Yeah. And
what kind of bands?
My first band was a Grateful Dead cover band, and it was really was not very good.
Were you singing too?
Yeah, but it was bad.
Was it like guys and girls in the band?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I went to the first practice, and I was like, I'll just like play piano, and then everyone like started shredding like these like Derek Truck solos, and I was like, all right, I'll sing. I was like, I can't. So they were like, okay, do a solo on piano, and I was like, I can't do that, I'll sing.
Probably studied but classical or something.
I don't know. I had always been doing like just coffee shop stuff.
Were you writing?
Yeah, I was writing, and I always loved it so much, but I always saw myself as doing it like just not my focus. I don't know. I just, but anyway, I finally gave in, and I was like, okay, like, let's go look at this school. And as soon as I walked in down the hallway and saw the studios and like saw that there was a possibility of me going to school for 4 years and just focusing on like the art of recording music, I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. This is crazy. This is amazing. Just clicked. Yeah.
I just want to say your parents sound awesome.
Yes.
They're go for Shakespeare, but also music. Like, if you want to do music?
Yes, they're amazing, but also my dad was like, oh, you want to go into music? Why don't you be an entertainment lawyer?
Right. Yeah, I mean, the engineering side is very practical.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Are your parents artists?
My mom is an artist.
Okay.
And my dad is in business. So it's like, I have like a good side of both of them.
Totally.
Like the creative and then... But yeah, they thought music school was going to be cool because it was also like a lot of focus was on like the business side of things. So that was cool. Mm-hmm.
So how many females were in your class?
There was a lot. Wait, let me see. My class was pretty small, actually. It was like kind of a new program that they just started. It was the Clive Davis Institute at NYU. And I would say it was like almost half and half. Is that crazy?
Oh, that's awesome.
That's amazing.
No, it was really amazing.
That's surprising to me to hear.
Yeah, it was. They did a really amazing job, like picking people. I think for every class, like they do individual like interviews with everybody, and I really think that the professors like nailed it with like choosing the people because everyone was so interesting and like even. People like my friends who I still keep in touch with are like the most interesting people I think I'll ever know.
Yeah. And they were in it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Not just like fuck around.
Exactly.
Like most undergrads.
Exactly. And everybody was doing something so different. Like
like interested in
different.
A different specific part of
it. Yeah. And some people were just like going because they wanted to only record like Latin music in surround sound. Like that was like it was just like it was crazy.
So what was your thing?
Well, it was funny because I was so excited to just be a part of anything.
Uh-huh.
And I went in with the thought, like, I'm going to study everything and see just what calls to me, like, the most. And, I mean, I think it was clearly always going to be songwriting and, like, singing and stuff. But I was open to... I took like advanced engineering, so I was, just really into the engineering, and I was like, I'll just work at a studio, that's great. But then I started realizing, I was just better at writing. Like, I just had to be doing that stuff, I tried everything, but it got back to the writing.
Yeah.
What was the writing class like? So I imagine, was that like a track or was it just like a couple classes or what was that like there?
I don't know if it's changed now, but it actually is. I don't know if there's like an actual track for it, but there was at the time I was doing more of like a journalism thing, actually. So it wasn't like a songwriting major. It was more they had I think it was like a performance major, which mm-hmm. is what I took a lot of classes in. But I was doing like an engineering performance major. But yeah, I had like an incredible professor, Robert Christgau, who is like a crazy music critic, like just from the rock and roll era, like just nice. Intense
had good
music
stories.
Credit. Yeah, he was like, yeah, he's wild. But he.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Really inspired me and encouraged me to just write music criticism.
Uh-huh.
But I think that also helped. Just like if you're just writing,
if you're
just
analyzing
anything. Yeah.
Totally.
If you're just like writing and analyzing and using words on paper, like you're practicing for something.
Yeah. So when you graduated, what was the plan?
I just was like moving out to LA, just like going for
uh-huh.
it. Just I wanted to just write music for other artists and yeah, I was just very excited about the idea that, like, I could sell my music to other people.
Yeah. You could have stayed in New York to do that. Did you also just want to change?
Yeah, it was funny. I was kind of getting out of a relationship, and I just felt like I needed, like, a fresh start.
Totally.
And to just be, in L.A., and just I had visited a few times, and I was like, this is the place. And my best friend since kindergarten had just moved to L.A., and she
Perfect.
Was like, come on down. And I was like, okay, that's it.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Did you stay with her when you moved out there?
Yeah, we lived together for 2 years.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That's cute.
And everyone talks about how now you've transitioned to, like, oh, like, why do you want to be your own artist and
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just a songwriter? And whenever I see that, I say that sounds backward to me. It's like I would imagine that you got into all of this wanting to put it out there yourself.
Yeah.
And then when you discovered to be a songwriter and even like a songwriter to the degree that you're sharing it with other people.
Yeah.
That skill sounds so special and amazing and hard because songwriting people just struggle so hard to write songs. So when you have that skill to in abundance enough to be able to share it, of course it seems like you would want to do it yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, was that always part of the plan or was it not?
I mean, I think it was. It definitely was always like in the back of my mind. Like for me, there's definitely less of a like separation between the two.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. For some reason, it all feels like as long as I'm creating and
totally.
Like just being able to be creative and I don't know, it just all feels like
when you're like creating the pop hits, like
I don't
that's
know.
Not like a normal
hits.
Thing
all the hits
like,
are coming from here.
It's true, like that's you know
all
like
the hits. All the
you're
hits.
I mean we could go down the list like start name dropping over here, but like you like work with and for these like amazing
I want to make
really
one of you
huge artists.
Drop. Give us some examples so people know who we're talking about.
Brittany.
Yeah, Brit. She's that's definitely like my – that could go on my gravestone and
I mean,
be like,
it's like,
that's it. I peaked. I peaked after Brittany. How do you –
Not to mention, can you like get a house? Like, you know, it's like – it's pretty nice. It's like talk about being an artist and being a songwriter is the way to go. And it's just the hardest thing.
Right.
I don't know.
You got it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. You got that thing, kid.
Yeah. You got something
thank
special.
You. No.
So is it not
you.
Hard for you? When other artists talk about it's a struggle to write a new song, to write a new album, that's like the work of it. Is that just like a, you know?
I think the struggle of like being an artist is everything that's goes around just right, like writing a song and like getting it done. Like that's all the simple stuff to me. Yeah. Everything else is fucking crazy.
Right. Before the machine steps in.
Like, no, just like the fact that you have to share so much of yourself and people expect so much. Like there's just so much shit happening and it's like, I just want to write a song, dang it. Like, I just want to write a song and share it with the world. It's like there just is a lot of energy that has to be like given out, and I'm still like learning what I'm capable of, I guess, and what people like expect of me and what I'm capable of. So
yeah. So how did you sell the first song, and what song was that?
The first song that was like the reason I was able to even move out to LA was I wrote this song called Be Okay for this band, Oh Honey, and the song never like, you know, went crazy on radio or like just, but it like synced like crazy, and I still gets syncs. Like I still just like found out in an email the other day, like it's like, I don't know what it is, but this song is like so commercial that it was in an Applebee's commercial that like paid my rent for like, that like paid my rent for a while. And then they sang it on Glee.
Oh, wow.
They literally, like, performed, like, Lea Michele, like, performed the song on Glee. And I was just like, what is this life right now?
Yeah. So you're, like, 21, just out of college or something?
Yeah. And I was like, what? This is crazy.
How did that song happen?
Like, I just don't even know. How did you get it to them? I don't even
know.
Who are
we?
Oh, so me and the guy, Mitchie, who's in the band, like, we... he called me randomly one day. I got a call, like, seriously from, like, an unknown number. And I was like, hello? And he was like, hey, my name's Mitchie. Would love to write songs with you. I was like, who are you? But I don't know. That was, like, crazy. We ended up, like, meeting each other. And
wait, how did he know you or know your stuff?
Through friends. Like, through mutual friends. And he, like, heard my voice on a song and just decided to just cold call me and just be like, hey, let's write.
Wow.
And we ended up, like, working together and becoming friends, and like he's really great, and we wrote really easily together, and we ended up like writing so many songs for his band Oh Honey. Huh. And it just like, I just don't even know, it was crazy. It was crazy because I also was like taking a semester off from school.
Okay.
And I was kind of just like trying to get myself together, and he came in the picture and we started writing all this music. And it was,
wait,
like,
why did you take a semester off?
Exactly. I took a semester off from school because, like, I just, like, wasn't doing well in school and I wasn't feeling good. And, like, I was just...
emotionally?
Yeah. I just, like, wasn't... I don't know. It's hard to explain.
It wasn't vibing.
I do that every once in a while. I need to, like, stop everything and, like, start... I need, like, a reboot.
Healthy,
I just do, like, a little reboot every few years.
Gotta destroy it.
And I gotta destroy it to enjoy it.
Good callback, guys. Good callback.
Nice. I gotta do it. That's my life. I gotta destroy it to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was, like, the first destroy to enjoy in my life was... Yeah, I took a semester off from NYU and, like, I wasn't doing anything. I was just taking care of myself. And Mitchie called me and I was like, I don't have anything else to do. Like, we might as well just write music all day. And that's what we did. And that song happened. And it was like crazy.
That's wow.
Yeah.
How do you find collaborating versus writing on your own?
Mm. I love it. I love collaborating. I don't know what it is, but I think collaborating with people, I just find way more interesting and way more of a challenge, and just, I think the best stuff happens when you're, like, collaborating, even with somebody that you don't even like. Like, that's, like, even when it's hard and it sucks, like, I just think it's great, and it's such a learning lesson, and maybe just personally, like, it makes me feel like I'm growing as a person to collaborate with other people.
Are you a lyrics first or melody first person?
Usually melody first, but hopefully both at the same time, if that makes sense.
What do you write on? Do you use an instrument?
Guitar, but that's mostly for melodies. Like, I don't really do chords on guitar, just melodies.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Do you produce a lot, too, to create your own music?
No. I usually, like, have to have, like, a producer in the room. Not have to, but, like, I love having a producer who can just think that way because I'm so not, I just am on a completely different track. I need somebody there yeah. who can like go along with me. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're out in LA, you're mm-hmm. starting to sell songs. When do you get signed?
I think it happened like a year and a half after all that. So I was living in like LA for a while and my manager, Zach Gurka, who's over there, I met him at a bar in New York, by the way.
Really?
Like, we met at a bar in
New York City. Were you performing or you were just out drinking?
No, I was in my pajamas and I went out drinking. And we met.
Did you have green hair?
No, I didn't.
So it's not like you, like, looked like a rock star. You were just like a girl in pajamas at a bar.
I was totally, like, Phoebe 1.0 at this point. And, I was, like I said, I was, like, literally in my pajamas, like, rolled out of bed and went to the bar, and I met him, and I was like, wow, whatever, wow. And,
and you were like, I see something in that.
Is that exactly?
No. No, he didn't either. No, we both kind of were just like, yeah, whatever. Like, but then my band at the time put out this this cover song of Ja Rule and Ashanti, and he saw it on YouTube and then called me and was like, who are you?
Is it still up?
Yeah, I think you can still find it online. Yeah, that's my awesome. Band Town Hall. Okay. We did a cover of Always On Time.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I don't. So anyway, he was like living out in LA.
Okay.
Him and I were just like on the grind. He convinced me to go down to Nashville and work with this producer, Kyle Shearer, for like 3 weeks. Like, I think I was there for the whole month. But yeah, then that's when I wrote my own EP because he was like, go down there, work on your own shit. Just like, ugh. And that's, yeah, we did it.
Yeah,
that's
what's happening.
So that's what, yeah, I mean, that's like what happened. And that's how the whole first EP happened was I was just in Nashville, like on my own, just
with a purpose. Like, I'm going to now write for me.
Yeah.
Like, was did it feel differently? Did it feel different to do that?
I don't really remember. I remember just feeling like shocked that I was in Nashville writing music. That alone was like, is this real life? Like, yeah. I was in Nashville for the first, like, this is crazy. And also, like, I didn't know anybody there except the producer.
Uh-huh.
So I was just like, what is happening in life? Like, I was just alone all the time, just, like, with my thoughts, just, like,
that's good creatively.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. But also, it was, like, crazy. I got sick one time. I had to, like, oh, my God. I got so sick. I had, like, a stomach virus, like, and the plumber stopped by the house because, like, one of the faucets, and he was like, my wife's a doctor, and he drove me to the hospital.
Whoa.
So it was like, I was so sick.
Literally,
I was
very alone.
Like, I was like, I'm so alone. The plumber drove me to the hospital.
That's so sad.
How do you like being in Nashville? Aside from it,
afternoon. I'm feeling this shit higher than the moon. Not wearing pants, laughing at cartoons. It's super fun forgetting all about you. Every single night, I'm making plans with my stupid friends. I drink till I'm sick, so open the club. It's super fun forgetting all about you.
Hey Phoebe, let me hit this bliff so I can finally breathe again. Life is like a ceiling fan. Spinning around my head is like I really wasn't with the shits.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.